Welcome to the Indie Music Room, a conversation with independent artists about writing, recording, performing, and promoting their original music. And now here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Hey, everybody. We are going in, believe it or not, already into the month of June 2024. I'd like to introduce myself, Heather Kelly, the host of the Indie Music Room. I've changed things up recently. I used to just do one podcast a month when I first started. I wasn't sure exactly the feedback I would get. But over the last 5 years, I've met the most incredible people in the United States, locally, across the country, Europe, all over the place. It's been fascinating to me. I was a musician for several years, and I decided to kind of, you know, turn pages and get into this because I'm so intrigued with everybody's story behind their career and how they got involved with music and how they go about it. With that said, this time, those of you who have followed me for a while, you know, I usually just do it via Zoom. And of course, that was all because of COVID and the pandemic. But today I'm going to actually do an in-studio interview. And what's exciting about it for me is it's a kid, I don't want to say kid, it's a young man that has recorded out here before. And we're also going to bring Kurt Kaufman, the owner and engineer of the studio, as well as my music partner and partner in life, going to bring him in on the conversation as well. It's a little bit interesting for me because Kuno is the artist we're going to be interviewing. But what blows my mind is his dad is a musician as well, you know, as I am. And we were kind of, and we're about the, you know, kind of the same age. I'm older, of course. But to see the next generation of musicians coming out and coming to the studio and having the experience that we had, when we first started out, it's really exciting for me and incredible. So with that said, in a few short minutes, I will introduce you to our next podcast for the month. Thanks for listening. Always tune in, please. It's amazing. It's fun. And don't forget to hit subscribe. All right. Just like I said before, people, here I want to introduce Kurt Kaufman and Kuno Pasek.
Yo.
I think I said it right. All right. This is going to be a great podcast, you guys. First and foremost, Kirk, why don't you introduce yourself? Look at the camera, dear.
I'm Kirk. I run the recording studio here and have people come in and record. And then some people just come in and use the stuff. I don't do everything, thank God. And here's Kuno.
Well,
hey.
And Kuno's amazing. We're going to talk about this. But what is your background, real quick? I mean, you've been a musician as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was coming out of high school. Well, in high school, had a little band. And then we'd play after like the football game. And it just so happened that the keyboard player's dad ran a car dealership and he had a little ballroom above the dealership. So that was a good little start. But that didn't last that long. But, you know, high school. And then that morphed into a band from Fort Dodge. It was called Westminster, and we played every little town in the whole state of Iowa, I think, doing mainly cover tunes. But every year we knew that we wanted to put out like a 45 record.
Yeah,
and we needed some airplay. And back then it was great because the for $100 you could hire a DJ from the big rock station back then was KIOA in Des Moines.
Yes.
And for $100 you could hire a DJ to come to your gig, and then he would talk about it all week. Yeah. On the air, you know. So we did that whenever we could afford it. And then eventually, you know, through recording, and you know, I could talk about that too long, but the you know, it would cost $1,000 a day to go record somewhere. So,
and that was way back. Well, sorry,
yeah,
dinosaur, that was way back
1970. Then. And so we just thought after the last time we did that, we actually went down to Muscle Shoals, Alabama, where they were cutting a bunch of hits. And we came back and thought, let's just build one of them things, you know. Our chicken house.
It was a chicken house at the time.
And lucked out all the way. Didn't have any money, but Built this, yeah. The bank gave us a bunch of money, and we starved to death. But
Was all worth it?
yeah, my father-in-law said, "What are you trying to do? Starve her to death?" But and it took about 7 years, and the band actually broke up, and so there was different bands. But we, the original guys, were still kind of the owners, and we record other bands so we could afford
Your own
to do our
stuff.
own stuff. Took 7 years, and then we landed a major deal with Columbia and put out a band called the Hawks, and did a couple things there. Our brush with fame did probably did everything wrong, but we passed up every opportunity that could have happened. But we lived through it, and in the meantime, bands like we've had various record deals with the bands that come in, and you learn from them, and you get to meet the players. So I've got just a few players that I work with to do my own stuff, and if it wasn't for that, I'd suck all the way, but you can kind of conduct them, and they do it because they like the studio and they recorded here. So, and eventually I ended up with bands like Slipknot, and I had, I mean, Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys actually came out and stuff like that, a little brushes with fame makes you look good, whether you make any money. That has nothing to do with it. But
Tell our fans real quick before we get to Kuno over here. And this is going to be this will be part of your question, Kuno. Tell them about Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis. Oh, when we had the band The Hawks, we were out in LA, and this other guy that was had been produced by our producer had to go on American Bandstand, but his band wasn't there.
Oh.
So we ended up being the band for it.
Yeah, that.
I even forget the guy's name, but the however, so you go in, everybody's doing the old dance out there, and they give you dressing rooms, and we went up, and it was me and Frank. Frank was the lead singer in the Hawks, and we're sitting there, and this girl comes in, and says, "Well, is it okay if this guy shares the dressing room, because they only got so many?" And it was Huey Lewis right when they had their first hit, and
Now, Kuno, do you know who Huey Lewis is?
I think I've heard of the name, but I'm not too familiar.
Huey Lewis in the news, and then they just had a bunch of
Yeah,
big
big
tunes,
stuff going on.
and
Soon
so
share a locker room with them or a dressing room with them.
and then Frank left, and it was just me and Huey, and then this lady comes in, and, "Would you like a drink?" And we both thought we'd have a glass of wine, and she came in with two bottles of wine, and I'm blabbing away and watching the TV, and
Drink.
drank my bottle of
Oh
wine, and
man.
then it was like, shit, the band's on TV. I missed it. So I ran down, and that was the run through. So
Okay.
I
But you
went
didn't even
down.
miss it all yet.
Yeah, so I jumped up on stage, and then we played the song, and then I was thinking, I pulled that off. And the first thing that Dick Clark says is, "Well, the band never gets enough recognition." So he goes, "Oh, what's your name?" Like that. And my name came out okay. I was glad. And then it moved on. I was like,
Totally right.
But and that was it. That was an experience, and we could have went on solid gold with him too, but the we were sick of LA. We got the hell out of there. It's good for
Had
little.
your fun that day and that night.
I mean, we were out there about 10 days at a shot, because we were recording, finishing up our
For your
record.
guys'
We cut
stuff.
it all here, but would go out there to finish up, and the producers were used to working out there at the Record Plant or something like Sound City. And so that was that. It's a good
That ended up
experience.
playing the band for him.
Yeah.
So, got a free practice. Good night, though. Sounds
Yeah.
like in a lifelong rep memory.
And that's all fake anyway. I mean, they play your record, and you could, there wasn't even a place to plug my guitar into the,
No.
That's the worst. That's the worst. You
Oh.
got
I tied it on.
So Kudo, tell me, I know your dad's a musician, Bronson, and we know him well, but tell me what you I mean, you were, I mean, you're only 20 years old here.
Yeah.
So tell me, growing up, your dad had recorded here. Tell me what your thoughts were about Kirk and your where you started into where you guys are today. How'd you know Kirk? And do you know like what he's done in the past?
So, I guess as a kid, I was never really into the music like that. At least when I was coming out here with my dad. I remember coming out here when I was a kid, probably 13 years ago now, maybe 12, 13, 14 years ago. And I remember actually coming down in that room, and watching them make some music. Back then, I never had any ideas of making it myself. But obviously I like the environment, I like the vibes, but I never pictured doing it myself. But then I don't know, I'd say maybe when I was like 13, I had gotten a notebook and I started playing some of my favorite songs, some of my
See, you're
favorite
talking
music.
actually not a note like the dinosaur ages, not a paper notebook. You're talking about the like a
Yeah.
electronic. Okay.
Well, no. So at this time, I'm talking about paper notebook.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Okay.
Ballpoint pen,
Got it.
paper notebook. And like I said, this was probably 8 years ago now that I'm talking about. I was probably 12 or 13. And I remember getting a paper notebook and a pen. And I would listen to my favorite songs, so my favorite music. So I remember back then it was like Mockingbird by Eminem. There was a few songs by Lupe Fiasco that I would listen to. And I remember I would listen to them over and over and over again, and to where I would start writing down their lyrics onto a piece of paper. And I guess I just did that for fun. Well, after that, it kind of turned into me trying to make my own rhymes and no music, no beat, no nothing. I would try to put some stuff on this paper that rhymed, you know, more like poetry in a way, but not at the time. I didn't know what poetry was or anything, but it's kind of what it was. And then 2 years later, 3 years later, I was at my buddy's house that had a computer, a school computer. He had a microphone, and we had GarageBand, which is our generations
Right.
of our like plug. Our DAW was one of the first ones, and I messed around and I recorded a song, and I remember just going around and showing some people, and they were telling me, "Yo, you could really do something with this. You could make some happy. You could make some money. You could make people relate." And since then, I kind of really got into it. And then about 2 years ago, I was working an old job. And that's when I had met Kirk. I seen him walking one day, and we just had
Let me
this
ask, was it at
conversation.
Menards?
I don't remember
Because
what's
that's where he's always meeting people.
No, I don't remember where it was, but we had met, and we had this conversation, and I don't remember exactly how it went, but I don't remember if I had brought up my dad or first or whatever, but he had brought up the studio, obviously this studio what we're in, and we started having a conversation, and I brought up my dad, and he told me he remembered my dad, and then I realized, yo, the studio that we're talking about is the same studio I used to come to when I was a kid. So then I ended up coming out here for the first time and recording a
And
few songs.
you played something for me,
Yeah, I played a
you
few.
know, and I was thinking, well, that sounds pretty damn good,
Yeah,
you know.
I remember showing Kirk the first song. He was sitting there holding my phone up to his ear, listening to it.
That means he really liked it because he don't do that for
Once he
everybody.
liked it, sounded that good, really. I mean,
Exactly,
the microphone sounded good,
and see, we my generation these days, we kind of have it really easy, you know, instead of coming in here and plugging in a guitar and a drum set, you know, and plugging in a microphone and doing it all live, or running it through the board and getting your reverb and your compression off of these plugins. You know, it's all electronic now. So I just came in here. I showed him the song. He invited me out here. I came out here, and then I recorded a song for the first time. And I remember sitting back in the back room and just having a conversation, getting to know each other. And here we are, 2 years later.
It to me, it blows my mind. Again, when I did my intro today, everyone, I mentioned to you the generational value of this studio, Junior's Motel Recording Studio. It's got so much history, and I mean, you probably didn't even know what the hell analog was. I mean,
No.
you know, 2-inch tape, you know, that's what we still use to this day here. And Kirk, obviously, Kuno said you listened to his first song, you know, like his demo via phone. Now let me ask you this. When he did finally get in here to record and he did his first, what I would say, project with you, how did you feel he did? And did you still hear the potential, or were you like, what the hell?
No, I thought it sounded good all the way through,
And how do you create your, I guess nowadays, how do you create your background, your backtracks?
yeah, so it's a lot different, and this is kind of what I was talking about a little bit earlier is we kind of got it really easy compared to kind of what was the move back in the day. So instead of having drums and somebody playing a guitar and now you're making a melody out of this. And now here, let's throw in some drums. It's as easy as let me go on to YouTube. At least when I first started, I would go up to YouTube and if say you have like a favorite artist, right? So mine's one of my favorite artists right now are Polo G. I'm not sure if you're quite familiar with him,
Nope.
but he makes hip hop music, rap music, and it's similar to kind of my style, or my style is kind of similar to his. So I'll just go on YouTube and I'll type in Polo G style beat. And from there, they kind of come whole. And that's kind of why I say it's almost a cheat code, because instead of making our own sound and making our own music, these beats already come made and composed. So all I have to do is pay a few dollars to lease the beat. I'll throw it onto my MacBook and from that point on, I just rap over it. I kind of write my lyrics and build it around the beat almost. So instead of all of my music now is made around the beat instead of the beat made around the song. It's kind of backwards than what it used to be.
No, I understand that because when you have a beat, believe it or not, I have a what, $99 piano back there, electric piano back there, and I would play with those generic beats, and sometimes that would create an idea in my mind, and that's
Yep,
what I wrote around. So I understand
exactly.
that. I think that I was more apt to create that way versus writing, you know, a
Yep.
sappy poem and then try to put it to something. That's pretty cool. I like you've got this. The first song, you know, we're going to talk about was called Hit the Road. And I know I've heard it, and I know it's somewhat about you know, your family. But I also, one thing I want to say, what Kirk mentioned was, you know, your lyrics. Your
Yeah.
lyrics are more relatable than some, you know,
Exactly.
some people that have frequented our studio. Tell me a little bit about Hit the Road and where you came up with that.
I like I said earlier, so that one was one of those ones where I'm just scrolling the internet trying to find a beat, that I like that I would like to make a song over. And sometimes I run into this problem where I'll have writer's block and it's kind of hard for me to write. So I'll kind of force myself to listen to some beats and some music and stuff like that to kind of boost my inspiration, give me some ideas. I just remember going on YouTube and finding that specific beat. Once you hear it, it kind of already sets a vibe and sets a tone. And I knew I kind of wanted to base it and keep that same feel in it. And there's a sample in it from a Olivia Rodrigo. She's a really famous person right now. She's and I'd say maybe like pop, or
I do know that. I do
yeah,
know
I think I'd consider
that.
her pop. She's a real big pop artist. This beat had taken a sample from one of her old previous songs and threw it in there, and she kind of talks about some stuff about just like kind of hits along the lines of people leaving and coming and going. And I kind of wanted to keep that same feel. So I remember listening to that and kind of reaching in there, and I always try to say stuff and rap, like you said, something that's relatable, whether whether you came from the same struggles as me, or whether you came from the same place as me, or the same time as me,
or not, because it's it, I'm saying it's universally.
Exactly. Yeah.
Universal.
So I try to make it so you don't have to go through all the same stuff as me, or see the same stuff that I saw to relate to it. You know, I want almost everybody to feel it. So I remember with that one, I really dug deep, and I just kind of talked about some subjects that I felt, you know, were a little off in my life at that time. And I almost use it as a therapy session, you know, almost as instead of talking to somebody about my problems.
It's way cheaper.
Exactly. Way cheaper. You don't got to pay nobody, you know, so it's a lot easier to talk about your problems and your feelings on a mic. And then the fact that I get to put it out there for other people to relate and to feel, it really means something to me. And actually, I have a buddy that I grew up with. He makes music as well. And my first time ever showing him that song, he started crying. And, and you know, stuff like that is part of the reason that makes me want to keep doing this stuff, you know, is to know that it's hitting on people other than just me.
It's a tearjerker.
Yeah, exactly. One of those ones where you get the goosebumps when you're listening.
Exactly. Well, everybody grab your Kleenex and get your goosebumps on, because here we go with the first song of Kuno's.
Look, baby, let me hold you tight. Now that I got you for life. Now that I got you, you're forever alright. Now that I got you, you're forever alright, forever alright. Got my brothers with me and they by my side. Yeah, if we riding and they wildin', it's a homicide. I don't know why I keep on talking, I ain't tryna die. But I'm a man of my word and I filled up with pride. And we begin to that bag in, get that bag in. Now we at you going crazy, no, we ain't acting. How the fuck they say they want it? You know they cap it, and you know we at you going crazy. We make it happen. Only worry about a paycheck, paycheck. I remember back then shopping for checks at Payless. My life is like a chapter book, ain't on that page yet. I'm still gon' make it, it ain't too late yet. You know I got you till the very end. I knew it from the first time that I grabbed your hand. I had to make room for you and all my future plans. You never missed a beat or show, you're my biggest fan. I know you remember all them days that I was sad as fuck. And you, I came down to the basement and you had lift me up. I had nothing to lose or live for, I was dangerous. I know my siblings remember the day DA just came for us.
Just so I could call you
I feel that any day that I could blow. And I'ma move them all out, we finna hit the road. And we gon' all ball out and we gon' do the most. We make a motion and cause commotion, it's time to go. Cause I know that I'm destined for greatness. And I know that I'll make it if I'm patient. All my brothers and my family, they gon' come with me. Life's a bitch and I won't forget what she done to me. Most days I don't need no company, I just need myself. I've been tryna play this game with the cards I dealt. I've been tryna make a way with nobody help. Tryna get rid of all this pain for my mental health. But ain't nothing seem to work. Feel my life is full of hurt. I see my friends up on a shirt. I feel that my whole life been cursed. Yeah. For my people, I'ma shine, and I ain't never stopping this until my God tells me it's time.
Just so I could call.
Kuno, hit the road. I think everybody can relate to that. I mean, that I do agree. I mean, Kirk, you were right. when you said that his lyrics, like the way, and also, man, how do you get that? How do you spit that shit out? I mean, how do you do that? Like that phrasing, that da 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 da. I'm a pop white girl. I cannot do that. But how do you do that? Where did you get that from?
She seemed to talk all right.
I talk great. I just can't put it in. Well, that's true.
I almost credit that as I feel like this is music is one of those things where, you know, you can pay money to make yourself sound good, you know, and anybody with enough vocal lessons can make themselves sound good or can learn how to do something. But I think especially with music, I think it's one of those things where some people are born with it, as in the, whether that might be the voice or their melodies or just how they can make somebody feel. So I think I credit that almost to I want to say maybe my dad, because he was in this music stuff growing up. Obviously our music is a lot different.
Yes.
But you know, I think I was kind of born with this brain that can break down songs and find certain pitches and make stuff work that shouldn't work almost, you know. It almost comes naturally in me. And when I, you know, kind of like that song we just listened to, that's one of those ones where it almost writes itself, where I listen to that beat and I kind of get into this zone and I let it do its own thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, and then we get a product like that.
You know, you and I were speaking earlier about Kirk's, the way he approaches his business. And I think you and I agree that he's been one of those guys that's all about the passion about it.
Exactly.
Can you share your experience about the studio and like it, I'm sure you've recorded in multiple places.
Yeah.
But the, you know, everybody always talks about the vibe here at the studio and stuff. Why don't you maybe explain to people, like, you know?
Yeah. I think that's probably the biggest thing that comes with this studio is kind of the vibe and the aura that it has, you know, as soon as you walk in that door. And it's kind of something you can't beat and you can't relate to until you're there. I've been in quite a few studios, and I feel like they're almost weaning away from that, how you feel when you're in it, you know, whereas a lot of these new studios are more modern and they're more, they look cooler in videos and they look cleaner and they look whatever the case may be, just more modern. I feel like they're kind of getting away from that. Whereas you come in here, you know, some of this stuff might not be the newest stuff on the market. It might not be the best stuff on the market, but it's just that vibe is something you can't really beat, you know. And this is one of those places where you come in and as soon as you shut that door, it's like everything else on the outside kind of closes. And
I have to agree, especially being out here in no man's land, you
know. Exactly.
A lot of people will pull up and try to look for the studio. They wouldn't even know it's back here.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think that adds on to it, you know, the fact that you could drive across, you could drive past this place and you would never imagine what's going on behind these doors. And then you go and it almost feels like a different world.
It does.
You know, I've heard everybody from the age of 10 years old to 55 years old talk about this place. It's almost, it's almost more like it's almost more like a statement now, you know. It's not just
piece
a studio.
Of history,
yeah, exactly. It's not just a studio. It's not just somewhere you can record music. It's literally has history coming out of it. So
it's like a stain.
Yeah.
I can't get it out.
Can't get rid of it. No, it's
So Kirk, why don't you explain a little bit for those of you that don't understand like the analog world, why don't you explain what Kuno's trying to say is like you know, everything's become so digitized and what do you want to call it?
Yeah, I guess I'd call it digitized. Okay. You know, everything that you see back here is now replaced and put onto a screen.
Right.
And obviously, you know, it's just music evolving, but
right.
it's really changing the way this stuff works and getting super modern. So it's the fact that you still can come into a place like this and see this stuff and feel it. It's a whole statement.
So itself. Explain to the fans, like tell them Exactly what the difference is. That, you know, we always talk about the warmth of the 2-inch tape, but for those that don't know music, like,
well,
explain that.
Analog would be, well, I'm no electronics guy, but basically here we record on a piece of tape. Mm-hmm. It's a piece of plastic with some glue on it, and they've got a bunch of little particles on it, and these little magnets record the sound waves. So it's never digitized in that way. I mean, exactly. What you hear is actually, it goes to tape
physically,
and it comes back, and it's still got that sound wave.
Yeah.
And there's something about that that's just, it's a little warmer. Mm-hmm. And of course I'm used to it, you know, but the, but who wants to drag a 600-pound 2-inch tape machine around?
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't advise it. But
why don't you show the people exactly what the 2-inch tape looks like?
Well, this is a piece of tape, and basically it's recorded right on this stuff.
Okay.
And the good thing about this is, it's not going to crap out, we'll
exactly.
say. You know, it's going to be here. If you ever have, you know, after years, the glue can kind of harden up a little bit. And what you have to do is, if you need to use that tape, you can put it in a dehydrator.
Okay.
And it warms it up and it dries that glue back.
Yeah.
So you're good as new. And then you can drop it on a new piece if you want to do that. But you never lose the actual thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And again, it comes from the tape machine, comes out of the board, and then you hear that just like it was. And
exactly.
It's a warmer sort of feeling
instead
of the all chopped up little bites. However, once the digital got up into the higher bit rates and stuff, I was okay about it.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah,
I don't really mind it.
Yeah.
But, you know, at my age, I'm not going to go digital. I mean, you're the little 10-year-old kid that kicked my ass on that.
That's it. Everybody, it's accessible now to everybody. And it just depends. A lot of my guest artists on here, they do that as well. They create their own music. I'll tell you the differences is the people that take the time to learn the software, learn everything about it, learn, you know, those are the people that I find impressive, because a lot of anybody, I mean, can be a
you do whatever you can to get it done, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But
you don't want to, it's like if you get in a band, you don't want to become a sound man.
Yeah.
You got to still write those songs.
Exactly.
Go back and play your instrument. You got to kind of remember what your main thing is. But anyway.
I think that's part of the one of the biggest problems that I'm starting to see in some of these newer studios, or just even in modern music, is kind of the passion for this is disappearing. You know, it's kind of fading, where as kind of what you were saying earlier, you know, people, there's thankfully still people like Kirk out here that aren't just in it for the dollar, or that aren't just in it for the money that they make after the project that they put out. You know, that's one of the reasons why I really like this studio, and why I really like Kirk, because like I said, it's almost rare to find somebody else out here that cares for the music and cares for the sound and cares just to put it out there for other people to hear, mm-hmm. instead of just the money that comes with it, you know.
It's a little quick though.
Yeah.
I mean, you do it quick. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I also think that's part of the problem, where like the passion is falling out completely, because instead of a sound guy having to learn exactly how the tape machine works and how to use compression and how to use reverb on these physical DAWs, you know, now it's more like you can just put it into a computer and hit a button, and there's software out there that would do that all for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of taking the love out of things. I feel as if, it becoming more digitally, it's definitely not as intimate and not as real as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the sound, like you said, you know, back then it was put on these tapes, so it was that raw sound, to where now, you know, a lot of people like to hear the auto-tune and like to hear the pitches that they want to hear, instead of, you know, when back when they were making a lot of rock music and stuff like that. That's just straight vocals. That's noise that you can make from these instruments, to where now we kind of build the noise to what the audience wants to hear.
But there's some good stuff coming out.
Definitely is some good stuff coming out. Some good sound
up with that.
Yeah, you know, good sound and stuff.
They don't need to know.
All right, with that, you guys, we will be right back. The second song tonight, or today, or whatever time of day you watch the podcast, it's called Through the Night. We'll be right back with you.
Mommin', you're always cooking.
I've been cruising through the night. I go by code, it's wrong or right. And I'ma hold my people tight, yeah. And I've been going, living life. And I've been focused on what's right. But she catches me up at night, yeah. Look what you on. I've been fighting demons. I've been preaching in my songs. And I've been doing right because I'm writing all my wrongs. Now do not talk about me unless you tell them who's at fault. Now that's some shit you gotta think about, yeah. And this is pain I'm finna sing about, yeah. And that's the girl that I'm gonna think about, yeah. While I live the life I dream about. Ain't that so crazy? That bitch, she try to play me. I try to get my heart away, but she just want a baby. I try to go to sleep at night, but she calling me lazy. I try to put that work in, but she ain't trying to raise me. Like, what the hype about? I be talking about my life and everything I say is facts. Why you motherfuckers capping? Just trying to find something to rhyme about. Yeah, just trying to find something to rhyme about. I put that work in, cause I've been out to hurting. Figured I was destined for nothing and I was worthless. I was going crazy, was popping all them perky. Till I hit the booth and the universe started working. Working in my favor changed the way that I had seen. Went from sipping E&J to dumping Hennessy. Went from bumming, hating life to singing melodies. And having people hate on me to try and fuck with me. I went from having nothing to everything that I had wanted. Went from being bored and skipping class to going shopping. Went from being broke and lonely, now I'm out here popping. Leveled up from hitting licks, finessing in a robbery, yeah. What? Like what the business is? Making money, making songs, I got the quickest flip. And I be talking about real facts, I ain't just talking shit. Think you stepping where we stepping, leave you off in list. Like where you at? Blowing sides I pack, trying to get some racks. Going crazy with this money like a junkie in his crack. Go retarded, I go stupid like a spell without his hat. Fuck the need to make it squirt, by the way it's blowing back, yeah. Bitch, I'm a changed man. I changed my route, I leveled up, I got the same plan. You snaked me out and shook me up, bitch, with the same hand. You switching lanes over a dollar, now imagine bands. Cause I've been cruising through the night. I go by code, it's wrong or right. And I'ma hold my people tight, yeah. And I've been going, living life. And I've been focused on what's right. But she catches me up at night, yeah. Look what you want. I've been fighting demons, I've been preaching in my songs. And I've been doing right because I'm writing all my wrongs. Now do not talk about me unless you tell them who's at fault. Now that's some shit you gotta think about, yeah.
All right, guys, that was Through the Night, another great song from Kuno. Hey, guess what? I want to talk to both of you about equipment. You know, I heard you guys earlier talking about specific microphones and such. Kirk, why don't you tell us a little bit about things you've used in the past, and then we'll ask you, Kuno, what you're using now. So go ahead, Kirk.
Well, we're talking vocals.
Yeah, vocals.
There's all kinds of vocal mics. I mean,
it's like cars.
We've used these Neumann. I've got a 47. We have some 87 U87s. I think we paid a couple thousand bucks back in U87s. 72 for those things. We're using a Sony, what is it, a CD?
A D48? Yeah.
Something like that. However, certain vocalists sound better on certain mics.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And, man, there's people that, I had this girl out here, lady, and she had a band and did the whole record on a really good mic. And then the keyboard player had one song and he just used a Shure
SM7B.
No, not even that. It was a, what are they?
87.8.
Yeah.
Oh,
the built-in power, like family
okay.
power amp compress. Yeah.
No, it's just a
the stick microphone, the ones
no,
for
it's
live.
just the what is it, a
It's
57? It's
58,
a 50.
50. Oh,
Sure.
Well, we used a 57, and she goes, "Damn, why didn't you let me sing on that mic?" You know, and that's an $80 microphone.
Compared to, yeah,
Yeah,
$3,
but his voice sounded great on
It
it.
depends on everyone's vocal. Like when we did started with mine, I've got kind of a quieter, softer, and it would capture like my breath and everything. But that's when we started out with the Neumann, whatever you call it, and then we decided later on to go to the Sony. But it depends on the artist
Yeah,
exactly.
I think it also depends on the frequencies. I know like them Shure SM7Bs. I know those
Yeah.
are better for like the high frequencies, the high pitches, the girls, female
Yeah.
voices. And then you go to over to like a compression mic. It's those are more
Warmer,
yeah, more
you
warm,
know,
more deeper. Yeah,
I
exactly.
know what Snoop Dogg uses.
I know.
He uses a joint.
I yeah, he raps into his joint. Yeah, I know a lot of them run on that $10,000 Sony C800.
Oh,
Those are like 10, 15 grand or even 20 grand now. Or I see a lot of them using them Neumann U87s, them ones that you were talking. Even these days, though, those are 4 grand. So
Oh,
it's
man.
not cheap to make yourself sound good these days, unless you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Hey, I don't want. Oh, Kirk, I was going to ask you too. I know a lot of your people, like for example, the clown Sean Cran from Slipknot has come here before, and in since you're analog, he's been able to dump it into his software, right?
Yeah.
Do you happen to know what software program he used?
Pro Tools.
Pro
Yeah.
Tools.
No.
Okay. And what do you use? Do you mind, Kuno?
I just run off of Logic X. It's a DAW that's only made for iOS, so MacBooks, iPads,
Okay.
iPhones, only made through Apple. But it's like $200. It's a one-time payment, and then they come with some built-in plugins. But I outsource and go through a couple other companies to pay for their plugins. But I run instead of what was that one you Pro Tools? Instead of Pro Tools, I run through Logic
Okay.
Pro.
Okay. I just wondered what the compatibility was, with if you wanted to work and bring out your stuff. I don't know how that works. Hello, I'm just in the background here. But
Pretty much the
no,
same
here we
thing.
just go right into his
Yeah.
laptop.
So out here, I'll plug in just my laptop straight to the microphone. Well, through my interface and then to my microphone. I know my other buddy that came out here ran through the soundboard one time,
Right. A preamp into the compressor into
into the microphone. Yeah, or into the
or
computer.
yeah.
So,
Cool.
yeah, pretty simple these days compared to, well, compared to what we used to or what they used to have to do. It's a lot easier now.
Well, it's funny because you say that, but as a quote 48-year-old and a
See,
73-year-old, that stuff sounds totally
yeah.
like not my language,
Yeah, no,
not my
I
lane.
that's what I was just gonna say. I guess to us, their guys
Generationally.
is hard, to you guys, ours is harder.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as convenience, I feel like we're kind of cheating just because it's all on a screen.
Yeah.
You know, that tape recorder, this table right here, all these compressors and reverbs, and all that's built into just one little screen. To whereas in here, all these separate knobs do something.
Well, she can take it home.
Yeah, plus
Keep working on
yeah,
it.
and that's you don't have to be in here to get all that
Right.
technology these
And today,
days.
like we were talking earlier, it's so expensive to try to get like actual studio time. So, I mean,
Yeah.
that's a benefit for sure. I will tell you from experience, Kirk will set me up in here. Like if I never wanted to cut vocals when somebody was watching me, so he would set me up. And if I hit one wrong button on that whole board right there, all those buttons, it
Yeah.
could
Yeah,
mess it
it
up.
could throw it
And
all
then he
off.
would have to go through and go, what the hell did
Yeah,
she
what do
do?
you now you gotta
What button
backtrack?
did she hit? So
Yeah.
I think it's great that they've at least simplified and made the sounds better and the programs
Yeah,
better.
I think it just depends on who you ask. There's a lot of people that I'll or that you can ask that will still vouch behind this stuff. And even me, I'm not too familiar with some of this stuff. But from what I've learned and from what I've seen myself, I don't think you can quite replicate the sound off of this physical stuff onto the analog stuff. So I think there's its pros and cons, you know. Some's better, some's worse, just depends.
The digital is really clear.
Yeah.
You know,
because so they have all that.
It's cool.
Yeah. Digital is
kind of like, I mean, honestly, it's kind of like playing the old vinyl on an old record player versus a MP3.
A Bluetooth or speaker.
Right, right.
Yeah. I think, yeah. But I don't, for certain projects, certain voices and stuff, I think that real and that rawness feel that some of this stuff will give it to it is kind of a necessity. So, it has its pros and cons. I think it all just depends on the style of music, the artist, and all that.
And then you can drop it into your Pro Tool.
Yeah, exactly. So that's another thing is you can run it through all this and use all this and then drop it into our software and then edit it from there. So it's just how much you really want to compose and how much you want to play with it and get it sounding good. And like I said, it also depends. You know, my setup is not going to be what a rock band could use. You know, a rock band couldn't come to what I do and record their music off that, but they could come in here and record in here, you know. So I think it all really depends on the artists and what they're doing and type of music.
I have to say, you know, when those certain bands that come through and they've got their amps cranked to 10 and the guitar players, man, I can hear it upstairs in that 11 window sunroom upstairs. So there is a difference for sure. Yeah,
exactly.
We are at the end of this podcast today. We're going to go ahead and phase out with his last song next up. But before we do that, Kirk, why don't you tell people like what's your next, you know, project and what's next for you coming up?
I'm going to mow the lawn.
I mowed last night.
She's going to mow the lawn. So, I'm working on my little medieval music of all things,
musical
and a musical, and it's something that I've been telling people for 20 years, and I got little pieces and it's like it's now or never, get this thing
exactly
done. So it's coming fine, you know, it's there.
I'm very impressed with
refining it. Whether it's any good, who knows?
I think it will be.
I think if it's quality, that it will live its own life at the time it's supposed to be. Like I think it will do well.
Yeah.
Do well.
So
and anything else been going on? I mean, you're
no to get that done.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, it's impressive. You're working with your son Matt.
No,
yeah.
There's no sense in me. You know, I'll probably write some more tunes along the way, but you know, I mean,
don't want to fill your plate too much.
A big Kirk Kaufman rock and roll record. I mean, God, what's the use? You know, if I felt like I would, but at this point, I don't mind turning it down a little bit.
Yeah,
and seeing if I add a little more melody, maybe.
Well, and as a 4-time Iowa Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Hawks. Oh my gosh, the studio! You got a lifetime achievement. What was the other one for?
Nice Guy Award.
I don't know. Sure, let's say
Nice Guy Award.
What was it?
Studio.
No, you had 4. Anyways, you guys, you got to look it up on yourself. But what would be the one piece of advice you would give to from a 73-year-old to a 20-year-old that have the same passion about music? What would be your one piece of advice to Kuno?
I don't have anybody. Stop
where you're ahead.
Good job.
Yeah. No. Stop while you're ahead.
Well, you know, I would just work on the music, you know. You got to do what you got to do to record it, stuff like that. But, you know, those lyrics and try to do something that will mean something to other people.
Exactly.
You know, I don't always have something to say, but
when you do, it's profound.
Well, and then I don't know for what I'm doing right now, man, I'll go back and I'll get some medieval literature or something, you know,
and look back on.
Yeah. And,
kind of
see if I can get some, maybe a word or two, you know, in the end, you want it to sound like, Well, that guy's pretty smart.
Exactly.
You know, he's a clever guy.
Yeah.
But normally, I'm not. So you gotta
improvise.
You gotta make it sound better than you really are.
You are very intelligent. Don't underestimate yourself. And Kuno, for example, you're looking at Kirk, obviously two generations older than you, and I am the one older than you, like your father. What do you think that you could learn from our generation for you to move forward and excel? How do you feel like that you got a step up because of this? Like, I mean,
I guess I kind of look at it almost as there's almost an unlimited amount of stuff that I can almost learn from you guys, especially Kirk, just because of obviously the life that he's lived. And I mean, look where we're sitting right now. You know, this doesn't happen off of luck or off of coincidence.
Backyard, it's our backyard.
Yeah. So clearly you guys are doing something right. I feel like there's almost something that I could learn from you guys on any aspect, you know, whether it's from music or whether it's from real life or even, you know, little stuff. I feel like but when it comes to the music, I think one of the biggest things that I take away from Kirk is just that passion and that, like, you know, I'm not just in it for the money. I'm not just in it for the fame. I'm in it even when the curtains close, you know.
Told you that, right? It's probably, yeah, here goes the phone. Well, it happens. It'll quit ringing.
Studio phone.
So real quick, tell me about the next song. The last one we're going to play, actually, called Next Up. Tell me what was behind that.
Yeah, so that one, I guess, you can almost hear it in the title. I made this one. Oh yeah, mind you, all of these except for the first one that you guys heard, the Hit the Road, the Through the Night, and the Next Up, the one we're about to listen to. Those are from when I was like 16. You know, 16. Both of them were before I was 17. But the Next Up.
And you talk as if you're so old. Okay?
Yeah, I know. I talk as if I'm 50, but no. So that one's from when I was 16. It's about 3 years ago now, close to 4 years ago is when I wrote this one. But it was actually different because if you guys, as soon as you guys hear the beat, you'll kind of understand. It's more of like an upbeat, almost kind of like a country pop beat instead of just a hip hop. And so I remember listening to that one and just kind of how I felt at the time was, I'm next up, you know, one of these days I'm going to blow up and one of these days I'll be able to bring all my family and friends with me and just kind of talk some of it. I kind of talk about my upbringing a little bit as well, but it's all based around the thought of being next up in a way, you know, whether it's with the music, whether it's with anything, just next up, you know, it's the next step in life, next part and just kind of manifesting in a way, you know. And then the video I had shot 3 years after we shot it. I shot the video last year.
Okay.
So that's why I kind of look a little older in that one. We shot the video a couple years late, but I had linked up with a bunch of my friends, a bunch of my local friends. And, we just had a good time, had a grill out. One of my buddies named Rowdy, he actually let me borrow a couple of his vehicles and stuff like that. So it was kind of just showing off our accomplishments, my buddy's accomplishments, and kind of just manifesting for what's to come, you know?
You know, I've enjoyed, I don't know if you got a bunch of notifications, but I was subscribing to every one of your channels, everything. Tell me about where people can find you to check out your stuff.
Yeah, so on all platforms, all social media, you can find me, my rap name's Kuno, but some of my social media.
Can you spell that for people so they know?
K-O-N-O, Kuno. I think we're pronouncing
Is
it a little
called
wrong.
The real? Because there's a real Kuno.
Yeah,
that's
so,
what they need to know.
Yeah, so that's where I was going with. There, some of my names have real in front of it. So social media, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok. All of my social medias will be under Real Kuno. R-E-A-L-K-O-N-O, Real Kuno. The real is not part of my name. That's kind of just to let people know, like, yo, this is the real page. Mm-hmm. This is the real Kuno.
I don't blame you. There's so many, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I get it.
So it just kind of to pick me out of, instead of like the fan pages and stuff like that, that's my official page. You can tell by being Real Kuno. But you can find me on all platforms, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, anything you can listen to the radio on, anything that streams music, you can find me under Kuno, K-O-N-O. If you have some trouble finding it, you can type in one of my, any of these songs right here, you can type in the title and then my name and it'll for sure pop up. So yeah, any platform under Kuno, you can find some professional music videos on YouTube, stuff like that.
They're great videos. They're great videos.
Thank you. Yeah, shout out my boy Havoc the Addict. I started shooting videos recently myself, but all my videos that you guys have seen are from one of my brothers named Havoc the Addict. He's out of Chicago, Illinois. Awesome. He's coming out here and shooting some. So.
So Kirk, where can people find you?
Right here.
I actually manage Kirk's account. So if anybody's interested to see some of the history or the pictures of the studio, you can go to Junior's Motel on Facebook and our music, his music, whether it be the Hawks or Hypnosis or Kirk or Happy or what Junior's Army, all of his music is on Spotify and all those platforms as well. I want to ask you guys before we lead out with this last song next up. Well, Kirk, how'd you hear about me? Well, that's another story. That's for tender ears. Kuno, you know me through your dad, and you've seen my podcast page. Have you done podcasts before?
No, actually, guys, this is my first time ever doing anything like this. I've turned down a lot just because I felt maybe I wasn't ready or just wasn't the time or it wasn't the person that I wanted to do it with. But obviously this studio is very special to me. Kirk, Heather, they're both very special to me. They've actually known me since I was in here, the same studio about that tall. So they've known me pretty much my whole life. So I figured if I was going to do an interview or a podcast or just let the world get to know me a little better, I figured this was definitely the spot to start. And I wanted to rather done this with anybody else. So I've obviously heard of Kirk. I think anybody that's living in this state right now has pretty much heard of Kirk or Junior's Motel. Yeah. Definitely around here locally, you ask anybody, they're going to know about Junior's Motel. So it's honestly my privilege to be in here with you guys.
We appreciate it so much.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys.
Actually, it is our privilege. I mean, we're watching the next generation, you know, take storm, and we are excited for you. We believe in you, and I hope that you will continue to keep in touch with me and let me know about new releases or the next time you want to meet up and tell the people what it's all about. So with that said, everybody, you never want to forget to hit subscribe on all of our accounts, you know, Junior's Motel, Indie Music Room with Heather Kelly, and also Real Kuno or Kuno. You'll find them all over. I mean, it's easy to find. With that said, we're going to go ahead and end this show with the song Next Up. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Let's suppose that you were able every night to dream any dream you wanted to dream, and that you could, for example, have the power within one night to dream 75 years of time, or any length of time you wanted to have. And you would naturally, as you began on this adventure of dreams, you would fulfill all your wishes.
Yeah. Hey. Look, I remember waking up and trying to get that money. I remember waking up to motherfucking nothing. Going out through day without no sleep, but now it's sunny. Forgot that I ain't sleep, cause now I'm worried about it struggling. Think about the past with my chest up. Think about the money cause I'm next up. Think about my eyes sound oppressed, Think about my demons that can't catch up. Look, I'm in that foreign and I'm speeding on my 40. I be squeezing, they be hating and they trying to take me out. The same 40 leave you sleeping, I'ma skirt off 50 demon. Wake the town with the exhaust so loud. I don't know where to go or what to do. Do not fuck with people, always got something to prove. Getting to the money, bitch, I'm always making moves. What you finna do with that lip piss they finna shoot? Know my day gon' come, but in the meantime, I'm in traffic trying to run it up. And I be putting all these prawns in my double cup. Fucked up the back too many times, I had to double up. And I was tired of being low, I had to level up. I had to get the money in. Trying to free my brothers and put mommy in a crib. Try to show the youngins how to motherfucking win. By the time I'm 35, I'll go be touching this. Put that on my soul. By the time that I was 15, I was on a roll. And I was out to hustling while they was on a roll. I wasn't focused on the school, I was only on my road. And I was out to learning life while they was trying. trying to troll. I was out just trying to win. With the team, we going crazy, going in. Yeah, God forgive me for my sins. Pray to God that he forgive me for my sins. Yeah, don't care if I'm like done. I got a bankroll in my pocket. I know there's people watching. Don't trust, got a 30 in my Glock. That bitch blowing like a rock. Swear to God, when I ain't stopping. Don't care if I'm like done. I got a bankroll in my pocket. I know there's people watching. Don't trust, got a 30 in my Glock. That bitch blowing like a rock. Swear to God, when I ain't stopping. I remember waking up and trying to get that money. I remember waking up to motherfucking nothing. Going out through there without no sleeping, now it's sunny. Forgot that I ain't sleep, cause now I'm worried about a stroke. I remember waking up and trying to get that money. I remember waking up to motherfucking nothing. Going out through there without no sleeping, now it's sunny. Forgot that I ain't sleep, cause now I'm worried about a struggling. Think about the past from my chest up. Think about the money, cause I'm next up. Think about my eyes, I'm oppressed. Think about my demons that can't catch up.
You've been listening to the Indie Music Room with Heather Kelly. Be sure to listen every Saturday and Sunday right here on FortDodgeRadio.com and subscribe for all our past and upcoming shows. The Indie Music Room is a production of FortDodgeRadio.com.